a doctor in the nearby town I went to visit one day, and he said he was a devotee of my guru's, and everybody always tells you stories when they're devotees of their guru. And it's tough living up in this little region because it's been so full of holy men. The place is so loaded with vibrations that what happens is that when something very powerful happens to you, man, it's like it came out of the Bible. I mean, you know, it's like you just saw the Red Sea open, you see. So you go rushing down the street to like, hey, you know, like the Red Sea just opened. I just saw it. And you finally get the words out to tell them, you say, oh yeah, you think that's interesting? Let me tell you what happened. So I'm with Dr. Bindu, I think his name is. It's a funny name. Dr. Bindu. Bindu means many things. It means universe, it means world, it means sperm. It means it's the thing that the women put in their foreheads, tilak, it's called a bindi. It's the lower form of energy, sexual energy, is called Bindu. Dr. Bindu and I are talking about Maharaji, the guru. Maharaji means great king. He said the year before he had been with Maharaji, and he said, Maharaji, I have a patient who's a woman suffering from asthma. She's been suffering for many years. Is she going to get better? Maharaji looked at him and he said, she will die on Thursday night. I said, oh, that's terrible. I need my patient. I got to do something about this. Tears streaming down Maharaj's cheek. Two nights later, Thursday night, the doctor and Maharaji go to the woman's house. She's eating dinner with her family. They are there and they're all together. She walks into the kitchen to get food. She's serving, she doesn't eat with the family, it's an Indian home. She's with a man, she walks in to get food. Dead. Perfectly healthy before that. Gets a severe asthmatic attack and goes on. I went to Delhi. The story I told, but it still gives you a feeling of what we need to work with, what we need to understand. I go to Delhi, it's a 14-hour bus trip. I leave the temple barefoot, my sadhu outfit, and I go off to Delhi to go see American Express and BOAC and public health. And of course, what that does to them when a Westerner walks in barefoot with a beard, and you know, it's very shakes them up pretty bad. And I was silent. I was using my chalkboard. Everything has to be written on the chalkboard. I did my whole gig, and then comes the afternoon. I'm hungry. I go into a vegetarian restaurant. I eat my lunch. I've been on rice and lentil for about 5 months at this point. Once a day, left outside my cell. See, this is my first day out. They're letting me out by myself. And it's, wow, what a trip this is. I mean, getting on the bus is such an adventure, I can hardly bear it. You know? I mean, you got to live in one of those rooms before you know what it's like not to leave it. And the greatest excitement I'd had was a bird had built a nest in my room in the eaves, and the drama of that every day was almost like staggering to my heightened sensitivities at that point. Now I'm in a bus and I'm in the middle of Connaught Place in Delhi, and I'm going around doing my thing. I finally go into a vegetarian restaurant, and boy, the food is so, my desires are so much there, you know, all this good vegetarian food. For dessert, I have ice cream, and they serve me two cookies. Wow, two cookies. Oh. And I stop and I bless all the food, because you consecrate. You only take prasad, you don't eat meals. Prasad is consecrated food. And all these cookies, I'm just like, I'm just doing a thing with the cookies. I stay at the Buddhist monastery that night. Next day, 14 hours back up the hill. And I go back into my room and I'm back. You know, wow, was that an adventure? Boy, I write my diary. Going to Delhi, you know, what a day. Wow. About 5 days later, the message passes through. It's just like a brush fire. The guru's back. See, he's been away. He's been up in the mountains. Back up in, further up in little villages. He just sort of drifts around. You know. The guru's back. And everybody, it's just like bees going to honey. You get on a bus in one of these little towns, and the message is spread, and everybody on the bus, they've left. The women still have flour on their cheeks. Everybody's left everything. They've grabbed anything they can get to give the guru, and they're just like off to see the guru. And it's like the circus is in town now. So you get on the bus, and everybody is all excited, and because I'm a disciple of the guru, I mean, I'm one of his boys, I'm treated with all kinds of, you know, like everybody's touching my feet, and, you know, it's very tricky to handle that inside. So I get some oranges, which I'm going to give the guru. Now you got to understand the guru's thing about food. All day long, the guru sits, and thousands of devotees come to see him, and the women, out of just so much love for the guru, and it's like part of their spiritual work, they spend all night cooking food for him. And they come and they bring these exquisite dishes of food. And he sits there all day long, and he's talking and just laughing and being with everybody and just doing all these things, and nothing's happening. You feel like he's not even there, but it's all happening. And he keeps looking out, and a mouthful of this comes in, and I would say he eats 15 meals a day. He's eating and eating and eating, because he's like helping the karma of these people by doing this thing. See? Like doing this thing. Usually he'll take a bite of it and then give it away, and there are many children who hang out and they get all the food. That's the deal. The system. So I bring these oranges into him, and I take one look at him and I fall apart. I mean, the relation with him is so far out. Well, here I go again. It's. I just turn into total liquidity when I'm around him. So, I mean, my mind gets blown. Nothing happens. I'm just zonked. I take one look at him. The oranges go flying. Tears gotta pour down my, I don't know why. I mean, I'm not even saying like, wow, is this big deal? You know, it just happens. And I fall, I do Danda Pranam, which is out full length, you know, total body out, touching his feet. And see, when he's really pleased with something, usually he's got this blanket, which is like the blanket I have. And when he's really pleased with somebody, he'll extend his leg out. This is so far. So strange. And you rub his legs, see, and that's really like, oh, wow. And it's like, well, I'm not even going to try. So I'm down there, and I'm crying, and the oranges are all over the place, and he's like a madman. He can't get the oranges fast enough, and he's ripping them apart and eating them as fast as he can go. And right before my eyes, he eats 8 oranges. I've never even seen anybody eat 8 oranges in my life. And he's just, and he's smiling at me, and I'm crying, and there's a principal of the school system who's a devotee next to him, and he's peeling oranges and putting them in my mouth. And the whole scene is like, and everybody's about 50 people in the room, and they're all laughing, and they think this is all very funny, and, you know, because everybody's taken it at a different level. You know, to them it's a big show, you know. And then my head's down, and he grabs me by the hair, and he pulls me up, and he looks in my eyes with a big smile, and he says, "How'd you like the cookie?" And then he proceeds to tell me, chapter and verse, everything that went on in Delhi. Now, if you're a Westerner, you really go, you know, paranoid super spy. Who did he have following? He didn't trust me, huh? Right? But after you see him do it for a while, you realize it would just be too complicated. I mean, your paranoia just gets too out of control to handle if you want to go that trip. Because how did he know that 5 years before I had given some money to a friend, you know, in Boston? Who could he, when did he start watching? I don't know. When did he start watching? The fact is, now is then, and then and then. That's what you've got to start to dig, what it means to live in eternity.